Welcome back to Kli Yikar and the Parsha with Daniel Eisenberg and Parsha Vayikra. There's so many amazing explanatory comments of the Kli Yikar, of many different details of the Karbanos, and really can enhance anybody's learning of these laws, which might seem very abstract and distant and arcane. You can really gain a lot of appreciation for it through the Kli Yikar. There's the comment in Perek Dalet Pasuk Chof on the words Vinislach Lehem, it will be forgiven for them. And this is in the discussion about the Karban Chatas, what's typically translated as the sin offering. And there are different types of situations that would warrant a Chatas. And it goes through the different categories. If an individual has to bring a Karban Chatas, if the Kohen Gadol sins, and people are going to follow his way, so he'll have to bring a special Karban Chatas. If the entire nation, at the instruction of the Sanhedrin sin, there's a Karban Chatas brought. A king, what's called the Nasi over here, also if he sins, he has to bring a Karban Chatas. Kli Yikar notes that it says over here, V'nislach Lehem, but it doesn't say the Lashon of Slicha by the Kohen HaMashuach. It doesn't say it by the Kohen Gadol as it does for the other categories that we mentioned, that by a Kehila, by the Nasi, by a Yachid, by the Kohen Gadol, It does not say that there'll be a slicha v'nislach lo. It says v'nislach lahem by the others, but not here. And Kli Yikar first quotes the Ramban, who says that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be k'malach Hashem tzvakos. He's supposed to be like a malach Hashem, an angel. And therefore, even after the korban, he isn't fully forgiven because his sin is really too great to bear, and he needs to daven for proper slicha. So the korban doesn't get the job done for somebody for whom the standard is very high, like the Kohen Gadol. Kli Yikar then quotes Abarbanel, who says, however, the Slicha is mentioned by the Kehila, is really going in the Kohen Gadol as well. So Abarbanel just takes a different approach. He says, there is Slicha by the Kohen Gadol, it's just the Slicha that's mentioned when the whole entire nation sins, that's also including the Kohen Gadol. Nevertheless, Kli Yikar suggests his own pshat, which is that the sin of the, closer to the Ramban, the sin of the Kohen Gadol is basically unforgivable. To some degree, because it causes the Rabbim to sin. He causes other people to sin because they follow his example. And the Pasuk alludes to this by describing his sin as Yechatel Ashmas Ha'am. He sinned to the guilt of the nation. So the problem with the Kohen Gadol sinning is that, yeah, you sinned, but you caused other people to sin as well. And he says this is a more plausible pshat in that phrase than what Rashi offers, which is that they need him for their own kapara, for their sins. So his meaning Rashi says, for that in order for them to achieve kapara, so he has to have kapara first. So yechatel ashmalam. He says no. His pshat makes more sense. Says Kli Yikar. He says that it's because the sin of the Kohen Gadol is also that he caused the nation to sin. Therefore, his karban atones for his sins, but not for their sins, which he caused. The Kohen Gadol caused through sinning, and they followed his example. And therefore, it doesn't say that he achieves slicha over here. He would have to do more to achieve slicha than just bringing the karban. Kli Yikar says that don't challenge him by saying that, well, maybe it should be saved for the king, right? The king also would influence people, to sin. You know, the king does something, and people are going to follow and do that avera as well. So maybe it shouldn't mention slicha by the nasi, but it does. It does say that he achieves slicha through his karban. So he says, don't say that, because everyone knows that his gaiva causes him to sin, and nobody learns from him. He says, no one looks at the king sinning and saying, the king's sinning, so can I. No one says that. Everyone says, you know, the king, okay, he has his gaiva, he has his own problems. He has, we're not going to learn from him. The Kohen Gadol is a role model. And of course, the king ideally is supposed to be a role model. And, you know, when you have someone like David HaMelech and you have Yoshio and you have Chizkio, so it's great. But the king is not inherently a role model in that regard. The Kohen Gadol is much more so. And Rashi, he says that we can, Kli Yikar says we can even derive this further from that which Rashi says in the word asher by the Nasi and Ashrei Hador, and that really the opposite, people learn to do tshuva from the king. Then when you see the king doing tshuva, then you say, okay, I'll do tshuva. People don't look at the king sinning and say, the king sinned, so can I. But people do look at the king and say, the king does tshuva, I must also. Then Cleocker deflects a few more challenges you might have from other places that may or may mention Slichon you wouldn't expect it to, but he fends off those challenges. But then he concludes with an important point that we learn from this piece, that Poskim and Gadol need to be incredibly careful, because, as Pirkei Avos says, Shugigas Talmud Ola Zadon, meaning that the shogig of a Talmud, the accident of a Talmud, of a Talmud Chacham, causes others to sin intentionally. And we learn here, you know, the collateral damage from somebody's sin. That you can sin, and then you can achieve atonement, but how many other things did you cause in that? What domino effect did you have on others? And definitely the higher a position a person has, the more of an impact they have on others. But everybody has followers. Everyone has people in their surroundings. Everybody can really influence his surroundings to some degree. Maybe not to the extent of the Kohen Gadol, that even after you bring a karban, slicha is achieved. But to some degree, there are people around you that you're going to be influencing. Even if it's just your closest friends and your immediate family members, but you're going to have an impact, the things you do, the sins you do, and it's important to be mindful of that. And of course, for the opposite side, the good things you do have a powerful influence. Just putting a dollar into tzedakah, or just davening with kavana, and other people see it. Of course, that's not how our Avodas Hashem is supposed to be. There's supposed to be an intimacy and a privacy with Hashem, and not everything you have to do has to be on display and on our social media and our statuses and things like that. But at the same time, it is true that the good things that we do influence the people around us, and it's important to find that balance. Of course, the balance of the keeping things genuine, serving Hashem properly, but also being able to influence the people around you to do better.